Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Paul Tooley and Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Today is a topic that we tend to not talk very much about, but I thought it would be important maybe to talk about slavery. You know, it still exists, though it is illegal in almost every country in the world. Forms of slavery continue even in the United States. For example, it's estimated about 15,000 to 18,000 men, women, and children are trafficked into our nation each year. And I've seen other estimations that said about 300,000 children are exploited. These children might be in sweatshops or as domestic servants or agricultural slavery. And as this continues to scourge our country, there is a positive side, and that is a growing number of individuals and organizations that are responding to this. And today I have with me my friends Charles Powell and Dylan Burroughs, and their efforts with the Mercy Movement have been documented. And I just want to welcome you so much for taking this time with us. Dylan is a best-selling writer of more than 25 books. He is known for his collaborative works with faith-based leaders and authors. And Charles is an author, an adventurer, an abolitionist, and civil rights activist whose real life kind of reads like a best-selling thriller novel. Charles, I'll let you explain a little bit about some of the things that you've done.
My name is Charles Powell, and I have pretty much lived my life as the man in the middle. I've done a lot of very dangerous work over the years. I've worked in nuclear counterterrorism. When I was 21, I was trained in that. And then I went from that. I worked for the Arabian American Oil Company, doing executive and dignitary protection for sheiks and billionaires. And after that, I was recruited to work in President Reagan's war on drugs, and I did that for a while. I left that and went and was just a police officer in Houston for a number of years. And I've done a lot of dangerous things, and I was in a bad car accident in 93. Took me out of the action for a while. I have been I healed from that after about 4 or 5 years, and I in the past 2 years got back into the dangerous businesses, and I began a 2-year investigation of human trafficking in the United States undercover. And started working with Dylan. I wrote a national magazine piece on it, which kind of reconnected Dylan and myself, and we determined to do a book on it, and we have a book coming out on New Hope Publishers on human trafficking entitled Not in My Town, Exposing and Ending Human Trafficking in Modern Day Slavery. And that comes out in May.
That is fantastic. So, Dylan, in your own words, then I'll let you say your bio.
Sure. In terms of a quick bio, I'm considered an author and activist on issues of faith and culture. I've worked on approximately 30 books as an author, co-author. I currently teach part-time at Tennessee Temple University, as well as write at the John Ankerberg Show as a staff writer there. And 2 years ago, I had a trip to Haiti in which I saw modern slavery for the first time. Eyewitness accounts of children being bought and sold in our day and age, and it sent me on a journey to find out why this is happening, where this is happening, and in the process found out it's happening here in our own country. And that's when I really got serious about doing something on this cause, connected with Charles, and ever since we've been on the path of discovery and exposing and doing whatever we can to help change the situation.
I'd like a little bit of statistics. You mentioned that it's prevalent, or that it is happening. Maybe it's not prevalent in the United States. The fact that it's happening at all is horrible. Statistics. What kind of statistics are there for human trafficking in the United States?
Well, in the United States, of course, it varies because no one knows the exact number, but estimates say that there are as many as 18,000 to 20,000 people brought into the United States from other countries, other nations, each year for the purposes of human trafficking, whether it be labor trafficking or otherwise. In fact, the total estimate at any given time, there may be as many as 50,000 people forced to work in slave-like conditions in the United States today. That's an unthinkable a thought for most of us as we go to the store, we get our nails done, you get a massage. You don't think that some of these people might be doing this in a forced situation just as slaves were hundreds of years ago.
That leaves me speechless because we've made such a big deal about being a nation of freedoms that we can't comprehend that we are a nation that is condoning this. Now, does human trafficking and modern slavery what are the correlations? And you've already established that it is taking place. But what's the difference between modern slavery and human trafficking, or is it the same?
Well, those are just terms that a lot of people use. They'll use one or use the other. There are various terms that people use, but those two are basically the same thing. I think our publisher just couldn't decide which one to use. They used both.
Yeah, that sometimes happens.
It's Charles, more the technical term used today, too.
Yeah.
Charles, why did you choose this dangerous thing to research when you recovered from your accident?
Well, I had spent a few years getting better. In 2001, I was doing a lot better. And I went down I was working on some human rights issues down in the country of Venezuela, sort of against the Chavez government, and being a witness to what was going on down there. While I was there, we discovered Hamas and Hezbollah were actually moving in there and setting up terrorist training camps in the western desert. And that was verified. It's in our book a few years ago. It was verified that that is the truth. We got some Senate testimony that verified that fact.
Wow.
Of what that the government actually verified what I had seen with my own eyes. And I knew it wouldn't be long before they worked their way up into Mexico. And right now, Hamas is working with the drug cartels, not only smuggling drugs into the United States, but also smuggling human beings. And so I've been there, done that. I've seen an awful lot. After years of kind of recovering from a lot of the dangerous things I'd done, I just determined it was time to do something. I had seen a lot of I'd seen an awful lot of signs of it. When I was actually working undercover in the war on drugs, I saw the beginning signs of it. I saw those massage parlors creeping in. And, you know, at the time I could report it and say, hey, do you know this is going on? Well, we're only interested in you getting drugs off the streets.
Yes.
You know, it's what we got. But over the years, it's bothered me a lot, my inability to do anything about that. But it's very, very prevalent. That's really why we call the book Not in My Town. Some people think the idea is not in my town, people saying it's not going to happen in my town. But actually, the fact is, it's more along the lines of we tell people that it's everywhere and they say, not in my town.
Yes, yes. Well, Dylan, when you start a project like this, how do you research it?
Well, there are two levels you research this topic at. First, you look at the statistics. What is the government already doing about it? What are the stats they're putting together? You look at the Department of Justice. You look at some of the state-by-state charts that we've looked at. And then you go to the personal side. You go to the streets. You go to the places where you would suspect this type of activity happening. And we've done both. I've done a lot of the research. Charles has been the one doing a lot of the undercover investigation because that's more of his background. And together, we put together a pretty comprehensive book in Not in My Town that says, okay, these are some eyewitness accounts of where we went into major cities in the United States and in some cases small towns and saw firsthand people being bought and sold or their services bought and sold. And then we can go and take the statistics that our government is putting out and put the two together and show how this is happening in virtually every major city in America and in sometimes small towns that we would never suspect it happening in.
It's rife in the Bible Belt. I mean,
wow.
Of all places, all across the Bible Belt. Korean and Chinese organized crime own that area for the Asian massage parlors and spas that are there from the Carolinas through Tennessee down all the way down south into Dixie, down into Florida. Those Asian massage parlor signs that you see along the interstate, or let's just say that people don't see. that are there.
You know, we did a show recently where we were talking about protecting our children from abduction and abuse and violence, and they were estimating that there was almost, you know, 3 million children that had been abducted from American families that were maybe transported to other countries or used in a trafficking situation in the United States. I wonder, going from that, how technology plays a role in this, Facebook and those types of social medias.
You know, on our educational DVD, on the study guide for our book, which we do have a DVD with a multi-part study guide that people could use. And one of the video sessions shows me with a Mercy Movement, which is our humanitarian organization, mercymovement.com. I show one of our volunteers how prevalent it is, how easy it is to find human trafficking on the internet. We were in Orlando, and we just brought it up. We went through all the normal things a person could do, and in just very few minutes found very obvious human trafficking. And recently, one of the things we found, was a Russian group that was trafficking teenage girls. And in the past week, federal indictments have come down to take that group out, and it's the same group that we found when we were there. You talk about the potential for young people to be abducted. One of the people that we chronicle in the book is a young woman by the name of Chong Kim. Now, it sounds like she was brought here from another country, but it wasn't. She's actually originally from Oklahoma, and she was forcibly taken. And she was taken to Las Vegas and with a lot of other women, and she was forced into prostitution, you know, basically at gunpoint. And while she was there, she encountered within that criminal organization, an international criminal organization operating here, she encountered a child which was regularly being sold that was being held by this organization, and this child was like 7, 8, 9 years old during the time.
And this is happening in the United States.
Absolutely.
Now, Dylan, what can parents do to make sure that their children are safe, but also in an appropriate way, teach their children and their teenagers to help others so that they aren't victims of this?
Well, certainly. There are lots of organizations that are starting to do something about this worldwide, and now specifically in America. And we're focusing here in the U.S. because most are not. Most are going to India or the Southeast Asian countries and saying, look, here's some opportunities to help. But in fact, it's happening here as well. So we're trying to do something about that aspect. So we encourage people to go to our website, mercymovement.com. Find out what we're doing, get some of our resources to help. But like you said, one thing that you must do is help your children understand the issue. And you do that by, one, protecting where they go and what they see and what they do online and making sure that that's safe. You also work very carefully to help them understand that there are problems like this in our society, but at a level that they can understand. For instance, in this interview, we're not going in graphic detail about certain forms of exploitation because that would not be helpful to many people in the audience. But for your own children, you can determine how much you want to share with them about what's going on, and there are a lot of resources that can help. One thing I encourage people to do, there's a web resource called slaverymap.com, and you can go to that website, type in your zip code, and see where the closest incidents are to your community. What we do in our presentations a lot of times, you say, you don't think this happens in your community? Let's look at this zip code. And then within a few minutes, we can usually find either an arrest that's taken place close by or a place where there are offers where you can go and find these kind of services taking place in your own town.
So it doesn't do any good for conservative Christian families to bury their head in the sand and think that if they homeschool their children and are very protective, that they are... You know, that they're providing what that child may need, because they could be just as vulnerable as the next, even more so, because they've been protected from information even suspecting. And I find this over and over again when I'm working with children from homeschooling families. They're very open. They relate to adults better than most, and they're very trusting. And so how do you balance that, that trust? You don't want to create unnecessary fear. How do you balance that?
Well, one of the things that all parents should teach is awareness. Let's talk about those homeschool kids. Whether you're a homeschool kid or a child that goes to a public school system, you need stuff. you need clothing, you need all kinds of other accoutrements, and you have to go somewhere to purchase those. So regardless of where you go to school, you usually go to the mall or the shopping center. And there's a lot of information out there about young people who have actually been taken from a shopping mall, a shopping mall restroom or something like that. People have been drugged. I'm not saying this is prevalent. I'm not trying to scare people. But what I'm trying to ring the bell is for that of awareness. In public, young people should be taught by their parents to be aware of their surroundings and aware of who's with them. You know, every place you get into, it'd be nice to know what is the way to get out, you know.
Yes.
And they should be very, very careful when meeting strangers. And if they're asking a lot of questions of the child should immediately want to know why. Why is this person so interested in me? And so awareness is a really important thing. And I think there's a lot of resources on the web that parents can look to for training their children about what to do, what to look out for in public places.
Yeah, and moving back, some specific ways that can also help on a positive note. In the last chapter of our book, Not in My Town, we have an entire list of things you can do to help stop slavery in your community and in our country. For instance, there are certain companies or organizations that if you purchase products through them, a portion of your purchase goes to help an organization that fights against modern slavery. That's one small way that if enough of us do it, it helps change the lives of many people who would otherwise not have resources. And there are many other examples we can give, but a lot of those are ones that you would find looking in this book and looking at this topic a little further.
You know, you argue in your book that in many cases it is the non-Christian organizations that are fighting trafficking in the U.S. Why do you think Christians are sometimes afraid to get involved?
Well, I can address that from my perspective. I only found out about this 2 years ago, and I thought I was pretty well read and knew what was going on in our society. And if I didn't know, then I knew there were many others out there who didn't know. So for in many cases, Christians just aren't aware that slavery happens in their own community, in our own country, even worldwide for that matter. So one thing we seek to do is help people become aware that this is taking place right under our noses. And then once you know, you feel compelled to act. But oftentimes, our fear keeps us from doing something that would be difficult. And that's true of any issue in our society, whether it's helping the homeless, whether it's helping someone out of poverty. There's that point in time where you say, I want to do something, but how far am I willing to go to do something about it? And some people are simply not willing to take that step of faith.
Yeah, I mentioned a while ago about my experiences running into Hamas and Hezbollah in South America. Well, now they're on the border, and, you know, a lot of times we're not even aware of the monster that's across the border. We're definitely not aware of the monster that's in our own backyard. And people should become aware of what's happening where they live in their town. They should get to know what's going on because you talked about be careful. You know, be careful. Your quotes could be used. Well, here's one. Use this quote. The church in the United States, the evangelical church, is peacefully coexisting with modern day slavery today. Peacefully. They're going right along with it by not doing anything about it. And there is much that can be done. The problem is people drive their cars in major cities, in suburbs, and they see billboards for Asian spas and massage parlors. And many of these are human trafficking. They're brothels operating in the open. And somewhere there's a massage parlor, a brothel that is in existence, and some local real estate firm or some local real estate investor owns that building. We will end this not when law enforcement does more, not when local, state, or federal law enforcement does more. The very first time the local citizen in the 1860s, the local citizen in this country had to get involved. And in that time, unfortunately, they spilled a lot of their blood. But today, the local church should get involved, find out what's happening in their area, find out, talk to the local police, ask. The local pastor, the local youth leader could say, hey, is this place legitimate? Have you ever raided this place? Is there anything bad going on here historically? And then if it is the case that it's something really bad, then what they need to do is get involved, let people know, hey, We should find out who owns this. Go to the local tax records people and say, hey, who owns this building? Let's have a conversation with them. Do you know what's going on in this place? You're renting this. You're profiting from this. The people that own the billboard companies, have a conversation with them. Hey, this place that you're using your billboard and you're making money promoting is according to the police, prostitution and could be human trafficking. What are you going to do about it? So until we get involved, until we actually become people that get out of the four walls of the church and get out onto the street, my greatest hero is the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And Dr. King was really big on not just talking about it in the church house. He got out of the church and he got out on the street and he did something about it. And that's what we're looking to do in the Mercy Movement, and that's what we're trying to get people to do when they read our book.
Now, your book, let's talk about your book for a moment. Where can people get your book, the title of your book? Tell us, Dylan.
Yes, just briefly, it's called Not in My Town, and it's one you can pick up at any Christian retailer starting in May. You can pick it up online or any major bookstore you can get it from or order it from if need be. So we encourage people to do so. Of course, you can go to our website at mercymovement.com and request copies through there. You can also contact us with your questions if you have concerns about your particular community. On behalf of requests, we sometimes will go to a particular community and do some research for that group or do a presentation. The first thing you have to do is act. I mean, if you're feeling compelled after listening to this to do something about it, let us know so we can get involved in helping do something in your community that will make a difference.
You can contact us through mercymovement.com. Sometimes it's possible for both Dylan and myself, and other times just he or myself alone. We can come to your community, you can sponsor us to come in, and we can have a community rally, a community event, and we can speak on this, we can educate people. A lot of times we might do, you know, a Friday youth rally or something, and then do the next day do something for college age and adults where we just educate them about what's going on. And sometimes we even sneak in early and find out what's happening in your community and tell you about it.
It sounds like this book isn't the end all. It's just the beginning of an ongoing, because I'm sure the stories will continue to come in. And what can you share with our listeners to give them that last little bit of courage as far as this situation?
Well, I would say for us, this book has been a journey. And during the journey, we found some things that have worked, some things that have not worked. Two examples that have been great. One, it seems small, but the Washington Post, one of the largest papers in our nation, was petitioned by some friends of mine at DC Stop Modern Trafficking, a group I'm part of. And over time, they got this paper to refuse to take ads from certain businesses that were known for human trafficking in their community. Well, the power of that has changed the entire scene of human trafficking in the Washington, D.C. area. And as a result, hundreds of people, particularly girls, are not going to be in the situation they were in before because people stood up and did something about it. A second case, closer to home in South Georgia, there are several billboards by Lamar Advertising, just to name one in particular, that promoted services that were helping, in some cases, fostering human trafficking in those communities. Well, a local group of people got together and did something about it. They petitioned the company. They spoke out about it in their local papers, and we were supportive of that. And over time, that company decided, you're right, we're not going to do this anymore. And as a result, the billboards throughout South Georgia look a lot different now. So you can make a big difference if you'll step up and do something.
I'd like to put a little plug in here for your book, Not in My Town, Exposing and Ending Human Trafficking in Modern Day Slavery. This is published by New Hope Publishers, and you can go to the website www.newhopepublishers.com. Be sure and check it out. I really appreciate you taking this time to expose this terrible condition to our listeners. Thank you. And you never know how your books and your ministry can save the life of many people. So we thank you so much from our listeners, and we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless you.
Thank you.
Great to be with you.
Well, it's time to say goodbye. Education Currents is a production of MRG Media Ministries, and I'd like to thank my co-host and my engineer, Mike Gamblin, and the network for making this broadcast possible. For more information on current educational topics, be sure and go to educationcurrents.com. That's educationcurrents.com. We look forward to being with you every Monday starting at 5:05 to 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. Have a great week and keep learning.